From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will wows well of them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is Outshine now, gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
Spinoff, who's taken a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Sueño, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside. Much Better's in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out. And here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, along with my usual entry mate, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude. And we are positioned high above the walking ring here at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, on a gorgeous morning. Temperatures hovering in the low 70s, powder blue skies, the palm trees just making for the perfect scene set here this afternoon or this morning. Looking forward to this afternoon and the 68th running of the Florida Derby. And boy, is it going to be an outstanding horse race. Several different storylines surrounding this year's Florida Derby. This card jam-packed with stakes action. 14 races on the program, 7 stakes, 4 graded stakes worth $2.3 million in purses, and it all culminates with that 68th $1 million Express Bet Florida Derby at 6:30 Eastern Time. JT, you ready for some horse racing?
Oh, yeah. To steal a line from Phasic Tipton, where would you rather be? There's no place like Gulfstream Park on Florida Derby Day. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and we have a beautiful day for racing here.
Should have a fantastic weather day, too. Fast main track, firm turf. There is a very slight chance of a pop-up shower as we make it into the early afternoon, but those are like minimal, 20% chance. We would expect that we're going to have a dry racetrack for this running of the Florida Derby this afternoon. And, you know, I talk about some of those storylines. You get that great rematch this afternoon between the top two finishers from the Fountain of Youth about a month ago. You have the Shug McGay, he trained Code of Honor. You have Bourbon War, who was a fast closing second that day. Then you throw in Hidden Scroll, who was the beaten favorite in the Fountain of Youth. Could be any kind of runner. We still don't know. He has questions to answer for Bill Mott. Those three alone make for a very compelling race.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some other contenders in there that have a chance as well. So it's a very good Florida Derby. I don't think people realize that the first two finishers in the Fountain Youth were very close, and Shug McGahey's horse, Code of Honor, had a perfect trip, while Mark Hennig's horse, Bourbon War, didn't. He was wide. He had a little bit too much to do. He was far back early. I think you're going to see a more aggressive ride today. If he can get out of the gate better, save some ground, he could turn the table. So that story alone is kind of interesting to me to see exactly what kind of trips those two horses get.
And we're going to hear from both of their connections on this program this morning. John Velasquez took the time to visit with us in the jocks room yesterday. He talked about that trip with Code of Honor. And when you listen to Johnny talk about it and lay out the way the race kind of unfolded, it wasn't as clean a trip as people think. He had to work through some issues with horses stopping in front of him, especially Long Shot Gladiator King, who backed up there for dueling with Hidden Scroll. He had to work around those horses and kind of weave in and out. So it wasn't exactly a perfectly clean trip for Code of Honor, but it was cleaner than some of the other runners in there for sure.
Yeah, well, Johnny always makes it look so easy.
Yeah,
know?
Correct.
So that's part of it. But it's nice to have that experience going into the Kentucky Derby when you can, take up, move out, move in, do the things you need to do, because in a 20-horse field, things get a little dicey sometimes.
We'll also hear from Bourbon Wars Connections. Trainer Mark Hennig going to be with us 9 o'clock Eastern this morning. So those two interviews worth the wait here on the program this morning. Then we'll throw in an interview with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott talking about Hidden Scroll, who joined the Big A and Jude yesterday on Express Bet Radio. So that interview comes your way shortly. And Ken McPeak, who sends out Harvey Wallbanger, and I'm telling you, this might be my long shot play of the race, because the horse can, like Bourbon War, he can really finish. And Kenny McPeak sending out the Holy Bull Stakes winner in here today. Kenny looking for a second Florida Derby win after taking it in 2002 with Harlan's Holiday.
Yeah, well, Harlan's Holiday was an exceptional horse, and loved watching him run. But Kenny's got a couple shots. He's also got Signal Man, who's going to be running next week in the Toyota Bluegrass.
Yeah.
So Kenny's hard on the Derby trail. He's probably single-minded as he goes into these next few weeks.
We'll hear from Kenny right around 8:35 Eastern this morning. Our friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence going to be with us at 9:22 Eastern time. Of course, all of this program is presented by Red Brand and Keeneland. And our coverage this afternoon of the Florida Derby, beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, presented by Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. So our thanks to those folks for helping to make it all possible. And then at the end of the show today, we'll get a chance to check in with Gabby Gaudette, who has got a new gig. Not only does she work with TVG, but she's going to be hosting the Paddock Show along with Scott Hazelton at Keeneland when they open their doors on Thursday. Thursday, opening day at Keeneland for this spring meet. Pretty cool.
That's very exciting, and a lot of people looking forward to it. An extra day at Keeneland cannot be bad.
No. And, you know, they used to do this, right? They used to open on Thursdays when they lost a day of racing for Easter Sunday, because Keeneland does not run on Easter Sunday. So they used to open on a Thursday. They've gone back to that, and I kind of like it. They're going to have Thursday Night Live out there, which are a series of different bands and food trucks and all kinds of different events going on. So it should be cool.
Yeah, that's when we need more people to go to Keeneland.
Yeah. The hill will be jam-packed with tailgaters, won't it?
There'll be so many people there, but it's always a great event, and opening day, super exciting. You know, I always tell people the thing about Keeneland is you can – play hooky from work and your boss doesn't fire you. He doesn't get mad. He understands, you know.
Because he or she is out there too.
That's right. You never know who you're going to see there, and sometimes you just don't want anybody else to see you.
I still remember getting out of church one Sunday and going out there. The priest who had just said mass was walking around. He still had the collar on, and he had a program in one hand and a beer in the other. And I said, man, I love being Catholic.
There you go.
It might have actually been during Lent, too, because I think it was the spring meet.
Well, probably so. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, so a lot of storylines, a lot of things to get to over the next 2 hours. We're going to throw out a quick poll question for you that you can vote on our Twitter feed. That's at HRN on Twitter. Horse Racing Radio Network is our Facebook page. You can weigh in and let us know who you think is going to win today's Florida Derby. And here's what we'll do. We'll give you a few different choices, and if you have somebody else that's maybe a long shot that we didn't list, please just let us know. So let's give you the favorites. Let's give you Hidden Scroll. You can take Code of Honor, or you can take Bourbon War. And then the fourth one will be Other. And if you do choose Other, specify who else you think can win that Florida Derby today. So that's our poll question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear our interviews with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott and Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence, who is manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adena Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man, a precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Barrage Barrage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war, will take charge of Final Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Borton Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Edina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Racing fans, live racing at Santa Anita Park is back, and we hope to see you on Saturday for what figures to be one of the biggest days of the year. With the Grade 1 Beholder Mile and the Grade 1 Frankie Kilroy Mile leading the way, we'll have a total of four graded stakes on Saturday that'll also include the Grade 2 San Carlos and the Grade 3 Santa Ana. With the safety of our equine and human athletes our number one priority, we hope to see you soon at Santa Anita, where we will continue to maintain the highest standards in the racing industry.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
And this horse, Hidden Scroll, is strong up front. Hidden Scroll and jockey Joel Rosario come off the turn with a 7-length lead. Pony Express is clearly second with Identifier on the outside, but look at this horse up front, Hidden Scroll. Hidden Scroll now being asked to finish the job, but the job has been finished an eighth of a mile ago. Hidden Scroll turning heads and impressing in victory. He's wrapped up. Hidden Scroll, wow. He won by 10 or 12. High Amplitude was second, Ranger up third, then Pony Express.
Pete Aiello bringing them home in that maiden victory for Hidden Scroll right here at Gulfstream Park on January 26th. Impressive that day, won by 14, came back to finish fourth after dueling for the lead in the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth, and he is back in action later today as the morning line favorite in the Express Bet Florida Derby. And we'll have that coverage for you here on the network coming up 5 Eastern. You can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's a different channel than you're listening to now. Sirius XM 93 on affiliates across the country. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide in your vehicle or on your computers or mobile devices at horseracingradio.net. All that coverage 5 Eastern presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Well, we are overlooking the walking ring here this morning. If you are just joining us, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, looking at that gorgeous fountain, which has not yet started to swing into action yet. The fountains are still calm and dormant at this point, but they won't be in just a little while. And Jude, the maintenance crew, as we were in the commercial break, pulled in the John Deere side-by-side, and they delivered 13 potted pink begonias, which are now aligned along the edges of that fountain. And I bring this up because they came up a few pots short. They were actually counting them after they got them out there. And I was looking to see if they were going to get
–
they need three more. They're three short to make it match on both sides right now. Yeah. So they pulled out. They took the John Deere, and they headed back to the Gulfstream Park florist shop. Is that where they headed to?
I don't know. Probably the gardening shop.
A plethora of pink begonias here today.
Yeah, the begonias look nice. I mean, the flowers on Derby Day are always great. And Gulfstream looks beautiful today. I mean, the palm trees are, you kind of think, am I in Dubai? Am I in Florida? Where am I at? It's great. It's going to be a lovely day.
Yeah, it should be a great day of racing here. And for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott, who trains Hidden Scroll, he is hoping for a spectacular day of racing. He has never won the Florida Derby. He's never won the Kentucky Derby. So this would be a big step in getting him back to Kentucky and that first Saturday in May. But Hidden Scroll has to prove that he lives up to the lofty billing here today. And yesterday, Anthony Stabile had a chance to visit with Bill Mott on our Express Bet radio show. And here's what Bill had to say.
Things really didn't go according to plan right from the bell when he had that little bit of a bump and stumble at the start.
Right. I mean, it may have been, looking back, which we can always do that, I suppose it may have been the ideal situation when he stumbled a little bit just to put him in behind horses and give him a little bit of an education. But as it was, he picked him up, gave him a little nudge, and before you knew it, he was right on top of the leader. And then, of course, they were heading down the backside, and the pace got to be very, very fast and faster than what it needed to be. So hopefully with that race under his belt and a little more experience, maybe we won't run into that same situation. But it's always a learning experience.
Yeah, was the plan to be forwardly placed and be aggressive last time, Bill, or did
happen? Anthony, I think he's just got natural speed. I mean, I think he's one of those horses that, if he breaks well, I mean, he's going to be in the race. I think speed is a good thing to have as long as you harness it and dole it out at the right time.
Now, everybody with a Twitter account and Facebook account obviously weighed in on his Fountain of Youth, and they were either in the camp, like I was, that he was pressed along by an impossible long shot, and you'll see the real Hidden Scroll when he comes back in the Florida Derby, and there were others that just said, well, one-hit wonder, here we go again. And, of course, the rumors started. They're training Hidden Scroll to be taken off of the pace. They're going to make a rider change on Hidden Scroll. The second part of that was true. Javier Castellano is going to ride Hidden Scroll tomorrow for the first time. Have you trained him differently going into this race tomorrow afternoon?
We haven't trained him differently because we did put him in behind horses for a couple of his works. Once right in behind, directly in behind where he collected a lot of dirt, another in behind where he was to the outside of a horse. And, he had a horse in front of him, but he also had a lot of daylight in front of him. And he seemed fine on both occasions. I mean, he rated well enough. So I believe that, if it's necessary, he can relax off a fast early pace. But yet he's tractable enough. I think he can, if there was no speed, he could be up on the lead with a good break, of course. I mean, we always have to consider, how the start is.
Does it give you confidence that he broke from the rail first time out, and it's something that you didn't? Obviously, he didn't worry about it that day. He broke Sharper's attack that day. Does that give you confidence in sending him out from post one tomorrow afternoon?
Well, frankly, I was a little more concerned about it the first time he ran. Being a first-time starter in a sloppy track, you figure if they miss the break, they're going to collect a lot of slop and some green horses get hit with that dirt and that kind of slop, and they'll back up on you, or they'll jump up and down until you get them in the clear. I'm probably less concerned about it tomorrow, just because he's had a couple races, and I feel confident enough that if he gets in behind horses, he's going to be okay.
Does the draw alter your tactics at all, or at least the plan going into the Florida Derby?
Well, we had no, you know what I mean? I don't hold a rider to any specific game plan. I mean, we talk about what the options are, and then they've got to take it from there. And, you know, when you look at the race, there's a couple obvious speed horses in there, and you know, we're well aware of that now. So, you know, if it turns out that there's some horses in there that show a tremendous amount of speed early, that's going to be fine, and we'll try to adapt. I'll just, you know, but I've got to leave that up to Javier, and he's got to make those decisions when he goes into the first turn. I don't think that's something I can, you know, I don't think that's a decision that I need to make before they open the starting gate.
Thanks for some time. We appreciate it. Best of luck.
Thank you.
That's Hall of Famer Bill Mott talking about Hidden Scroll and that new rider, Hall of Famer Javier Castellano, who takes over for Joel Rosario. And Jude, that last race, Anthony started the interview with Bill talking about how the break maybe wasn't ideal for Hidden Scroll. And I kind of talked about this yesterday a little bit too as I was walking around here visiting with different people here at Gulfstream Park. But, you know, with these young horses, sometimes if they don't break well, you know, as a former trainer, that they jump into the bit real quick. And, you know, Joel still had an opportunity at some point to pull him back and not go toe-to-toe with 132-1 Longshot Gladiator King. That was obviously his undoing, but what did you make of that effort by Hidden Scroll and what we saw?
Well, I wasn't totally surprised. I wasn't quite as high on Hidden Scroll as a lot of other people. He'd won one race. He'd run in one race. He was running in the slop on a speed-favoring track. I mean, I thought he had a lot of questions to answer. He kind of answered them a little bit for me. I'm still not as high on him. Bill Mott, you know, I was interested in what he said in that interview because there was a lot of things said on social media about the competition and the ride and all that stuff. But if you can't beat 132-1 shot, then do you belong in the Derby? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were up in arms that horse was even in the race. How did they take the entry? Look, that's horse racing. Yeah. This happens. We've been seeing this for generations, right?
Since they ran the first race.
Yeah, don't go toe-to-toe with the horse. Right. Don't get caught in a speed duel with him. It's that simple.
I mean,
it's that simple. Sit off of him. You know he's backing up.
And the horse is learning. I mean, he goes from a maiden race, you know, to a grade two. I mean, how many horses do that successfully? Very few.
Right.
If you look back. So the percentages weren't with Hidden Scroll, and I don't necessarily think they're with him today. The post position, Bill doesn't seem to be concerned. Everybody was all, oh, he drew the rail. That eliminates him. You know, for Bill, it's just another day at the office. He's got to do what he's got to do to get the horse ready to run, and he's going to do his best job and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, and guess what? Our friend Jaime Mejia, who sent out that no-hope long shot in the Fountain of Youth, he's back with another horse that on paper looks like he has absolutely no chance here in the Florida Derby. That's Hard Bell. Has a lot of early lick, going to be out front, I'm sure. That's going to be the strategy, just like they did with Gladiator King. But there's other speed in here, too, and legitimate speed.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, probably the thing to do with Hidden Scroll is blast him off. If Hidden Scroll wants the lead, he can have it. You know, he's probably the fastest horse in the race early, for sure. But, you know,
Maximum Security might have a thing or two to say about that coming out of those sprints.
Yeah,
he's quick.
But his early pace numbers are probably not as good as Hidden Scroll's. And the quality of horse is another situation. So, I mean, I think there's going to be a fast pace. I think somebody's going to win it from off the pace. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I am one person.
Well, it will be up to Hall of Famer Javier Castellano to work out a trip from the inside post with Hidden Scroll. One Hall of Famer who knows a thing or two about working out a good trip in the Florida Derby is Hall of Famer John Velasquez. He's won the race more than any jockey in history. And yesterday he took the time to visit with Bobby Newman. When we stopped by the jocks room, Bobby going to be part of our coverage this afternoon beginning 5 Eastern here on HRN. And Bobby had a chance to catch up and talk to Johnny about that race in the Fountain of Youth for Code of Honor and looking ahead to today's Florida Derby.
here with Hall of Fame rider John Velasquez. John has the most wins by any jockey in the history of the Florida Derby. 5 wins in this race, including the last 2 years. This year, he rides Code of Honor for trainer Shug McGahee. Second choice on the morning line at 3-1 off an impressive come-from-behind win in the Fountain of Youth just 4 weeks ago. It's a million-dollar race. It's old hat for you. You've won this race many, many times. Still butterflies for a race like this? Is there any different feeling going to the gate for a grade one million-dollar race like the Florida Derby as opposed to a weekday race?
No, I prepare myself for every day, every race, just the same way. So it doesn't change whether it's $1 million or just a race in the regular week. And I think just prepare yourself and do your homework and do the best you can do for every race. And I think that's the way I look at it. You know, I think you got to prepare yourself for a regular race or for a million-dollar race the same way. So it's no different. You got to be prepared the same way, yeah.
You rode Audible to victory last year. You rode Always Dreaming to victory 2 years ago in the Florida Derby, both for longtime friend Todd Pletcher. Now you're riding for another longtime friend, Shug McGahee. You guys have partnered for Florida Derby success in the past, back in 2013 with Orb. What do you remember about that day and that win?
Well, obviously, I mean, I rode Orb in the prep for the Florida Derby as well. So knowing the horse already and knowing the competitiveness that he had and knowing the horse very well, it was pretty easy going to the Florida Derby since I rode him at the time before. To tell you the truth, it couldn't be a better turnout. Like, you know, when you do your homework, this is probably the way the plan A should be working, and actually it worked out just the way we thought it was going to work, though, you know. So it didn't surprise us, let's put it that way. So it was great, you know. Looking at this race now, you know, you haven't really started the race really well yet, and hopefully we can go plan A and it works out just the same way like they did a couple of years ago.
Okay, well, fast forward to this year, and you have Code of Honor. He ran very well as a two-year-old, then was away from the races for about 3 months, and he returned earlier this year in the Mucho Macho Man Stakes. He was sent off the 4-5 favorite that day. Didn't run to expectations. He finished kind of a disappointing fourth. What happened that day, and what changed between the Mucho Macho Man and the Fountain of Youth to propel him to the winner's circle that day?
Well, talking to Shug after the race, and he says to me, he's like, Johnny, I think he just got tired. You know, I didn't really press him too much in the morning. I didn't want to, you know, get too much out of him, you know, going to the first race, coming back. Obviously, coming back from being sick, he says, I wanted to take my time with him and make him as strong as I could without using him too much in the morning. And after the races, it's like, now you can come and work him more often and see how he's doing. And then I went to work him, and we got very serious with him and make sure that he was fit enough and strong enough, you know, to handle the race itself, though. He started working really well. He coming out of the race, out of the works really well. And that was a difference right there, though. You know, I mean, he just didn't want to really get to the bottom of him without, you know, getting to the big races. So he basically, the first race he ran here, just got tired, though. And obviously we're working regularly and pretty strong, if you will. He took everything really well, and he showed in the last race.
This horse has shown a lot of versatility already in his career. You rode him when he broke his maiden as a two-year-old who went wire-to-wire sprinting that day. Last time out, he came from about 6 lengths back, well back in the Fountain of Youth, to win from off the pace. You're in post 9 of 11 with a short run to the turn going 1 1/8 in the Florida Derby. How does that affect the way you ride the race, and where would you expect this horse to be if everything fell the way you wanted it to fall?
Obviously, there's a couple of speed in the race, though. You know, that's the thing. And then looking at the races, I see there's 2 or 3 horses who have a little bit of speed. I just need the first 2 jumps out of there. Well, he's a little dancer in the stall, you know, and that's the only thing that he danced a little bit in the stall. So hopefully he's standing properly, and the first 2 jump breaks good, so I can, you know, come out of there running and get my position where I want to save some ground and go into that first turn. After that, I'm just going to sit and see, you know, and see where he takes me, you know, and see how the pace is developing in front of me, and hopefully it'll be as quick as the last time. I don't think it's going to be as quick as the last time, but if he's not as quick, he's probably going to be a little bit closer. And then from then on, I just got to be a little bit patient with him, and hopefully he can return what he did in the last race.
John, thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck later today in the Florida Derby.
Thank you very much.
And that's Hall of Famer Johnny Velasquez with Bobby Newman, who, again, part of our coverage this afternoon, which begins 5 Eastern here on the network. Jude, your thoughts on those comments from Johnny? Some good stuff there from the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, you can see the key with Johnny is patience, and that's why he's such a great rider. He lets the race develop. He has he mentioned plan A, but he didn't mention B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z. He has all these thoughts in his head. That's what makes him so great. I mean, he's ready for everything that comes his way within reason. And, you know, he knows what he's going to do, and it's so interesting because you can just see the thought process coupled with the gentleness of who he is and how that melds together. So the horse has confidence. He has confidence in himself. He knows he's going to be in the right spot. So, you know, it makes for a tremendous amount of success, which he's had over the years and continues to have. I just think he's the best rider in the world right now. I mean, there's nobody like him. I would rather have him on my horse than anybody. I've actually thought about not betting on anybody but Johnny Velasquez, handicapping the race, and if Johnny Velasquez is on the horse, then make a bet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that thought process that he has when he approaches every race, and he talked about that. He said, I approach every race the same way, whether it's a grade one or it's a you know, an allowance race or a maiden race, whatever it might be. And I asked him about that after the interview yesterday, and there were times that he started talking, and I said, how do I not have the microphone running right now?
You should just leave it on.
Oh, I should just leave it on. Well, I don't know if that would have been a good thing either at times. But
can edit. You're a good editor.
We can edit. But he started taking me through the race. He had a racing form in front of him, and he's looking at the race, and he starts talking about his preparation. And we start going through almost horse by horse. And he said, okay, well, this horse is going to go. This horse is going to go, but he has no chance. This horse is going to do this. And then he started taking me inside the minds of the other jockeys. And he said that as much as he studies the horses, he studies the other riders that are in there because their tendencies, right? Just like we talk about, say, with basketball, right, where you know the guy can go to his right real well, but if you get him to go to the left, he's not as effective. They know how these other riders are going to approach the race, too. So he said, he started talking about Hidden Scroll and, of course, Javier. And he said, I said, from that inside post, does he have to send him? Does he have to go at a mile and an eighth here at Gulfstream? And Johnny started putting me in the position of Javier. And he says, look, he's going to get out. He said, but what he'll probably do, because all the other speed is to his outside, he'll make sure he brakes well and he'll hustle him for a minute. But then he'll take a hold of him going into the first turn, let the other speed go. He said he'll try to ease him to the outside, get him off the rail and get him to relax. And now he's in a catbird spot just outside the other speed. He said that's probably what Javier will end up doing.
Yeah, I wonder if Javier's listening to the interview.
Johnny's in his head already from one Hall of Famer to another.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. So great. I mean, when you think about the strategy and the prep work that goes into this, and keep in mind, Johnny turned down a lucrative payday in Dubai where he could have been riding Seeking the Soul in the Dubai World Cup and some other contenders there today. He turned all that down to be here on Code of Honor, and he said he's been high on this horse from the start, and he really wanted to stay here and ride for Shug and ride in this race.
Yeah, well, I didn't see Pletcher. He won the second race at Maidan, but I didn't see him in the winner's circle, so he stayed here for current.
Yeah, he was here yesterday, won the race yesterday. You know, it's Todd Pletcher's world as always. But, yeah, Colefront winning the Godolphin Mile under Jose Ortiz just a short time ago, so congratulations to them. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. Ken McPeak is coming up in just about 5 minutes from right now. So this is typically the time we'll bring you our Legends of the Turf story, and I know there are people cringing all over HRN Nation because I'm going to tell you I'm bypassing the story today in the interest of all of our special guests to make sure we get everything in for you on a busy program. However, you will hear a word from the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky, and it gives me just an extra second here today to tell you all about the Godfather and Mike Hendricks and the great people at the Lexus store. I've been telling you for more than a decade on this show that they are the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. Nobody does it better. They're horse people. They're in the game. Heck, they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store. So if you don't think they're committed, they're committed. They're also the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run every fall out at Keeneland. So this is a dealership that is committed to giving back to the industry, and they are your dealership. They'll talk horse racing with you, and they'll put you in a really nice vehicle too. So go out and see them, the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more. Ken McPeak is next, right after this.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm. On red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call.
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caracondi has won.
Passion.
It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi and O'Dor. Caracondi.
Caracondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caracondi recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths. First crop yearlings by Caracondi sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Racing fans, live racing at Santa Anita Park is back, and we hope to see you on Saturday for what figures to be one of the biggest days of the year. With the Grade 1 Beholder Mile and the Grade 1 Frankie Kilroy Mile leading the way, we'll have a total of four graded stakes on Saturday that'll also include the Grade 2 San Carlos and the Grade 3 Santa Ana. With the safety of our equine and human athletes our number one priority, we hope to see you soon at Santa Anita, where we will continue to maintain the highest standards in the racing industry.
Florida Sire Stakes horses run for Florida bonus money with a $100,000 bonus up for grabs to the winner of the Florida Derby and a $25,000 bonus going to the winner of the Gulfstream Park Oaks. The Florida Derby has been won by a long line of Florida breds, including Unbridled and Hale's Hope, while the Florida Oaks has been won by Florida bred Ivana Vinalot, a great race mare, and the dam of Champion Songbird. And don't forget Florida Cup Day tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. Six races featuring a $15,000 bonus for each winner. It pays to breed, sell, own, and race Florida breds.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
Here comes Harlan's Holiday right now, and Harlan's Holiday have taken over the lead as they go to the quarter pole, and Harlan is in front at the quarter-mile marker of the Florida Derby. Booklet is back to second. Blue Burner comes with his run to the outside, and they head for home. Harlan's Holiday and Edgar Prado in charge. Blue Burner and Jerry Bailey, the only one with a chance to get him, and they come to the final furlong. Harlan's Holiday to the 16th pole, straight and strong, and he's the Florida Derby champ. Harlan's Holiday, Blue Burner to the outside, Peekskill third. Here comes Harlan's Holiday to win.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, my beautiful wife Michelle, pushing all the right buttons for us here, and Lee Delapina back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Happy to have you back with us as we broadcast live overlooking the walking ring at Gulfstream Park. Gorgeous morning in Hallandale Beach, Florida. The 68th running of the Florida Derby coming up later this afternoon, shortly after 6:30. Eastern time, and trainer Ken McPeak hoping for another Florida Derby victory, just like that one in 2002 with Harlan's Holiday. He'll be hoping to kick back with a nice cold Harvey Wallbanger after this year's edition of the Florida Derby, if indeed that horse can get it done again here at Gulfstream Park. Kenny is with us now here on HRN. Kenny, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing this horse strut his stuff this afternoon. An interesting name and a horse that can really finish at the end. We saw that in the Holy Bull. Start by looking back on that race. Good effort.
Yeah, no, it was. This horse has really never done anything wrong. So, we're optimistic that he keeps climbing the ladder, and obviously another big step for him. I'm surprised his odds are as long as they are. You know, he actually ran faster than the Fountain of Youth. And I think there's no doubt that he wants a mile and an eighth. So we'll see if it sets up and see if he fits.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. He's 15-1 on the morning line. And as I look at him, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now, I actually think he's the long shot upsetter in this year's Florida Derby, which could be good or bad for you if I'm actually picking him. That might not be a good thing, my friend. But, there's a horse at five starts. He's never been worse than second. What's wrong with this horse? He's so good, and he's just not getting the respect.
Yeah, no, it's hard to say because we laid him off between races. He's had some time in between, but I think that's going to make him stronger. And, like I said, I mean, the time of the Holy Bull was certainly comparable or better than the Fountain of Youth. But it's all relative, I suppose. They've got to line him up and pull the trigger and see who comes home.
Well, he ran a huge race off a layoff. I mean, you had him perfectly prepared for the Holy Bull, and it looks like his last two workouts were excellent, so he's come out of it good, and he's ready to move forward. It's got to give you a lot of confidence going into this race.
I couldn't feel any better about the way he's done. This horse has gotten a little bigger and stronger since his last race. He's dappled head to toe, and he's been drilling the feed tub, and it's an exciting weekend, and yeah, it's a long way back to Harlan's Holiday. Who was the announcer on that race? Was that Vic Stauffer? I couldn't remember if Tom Durkin was still there. Did y'all listen to that close?
Yeah, it was Vic Stauffer who had that call when he was calling here at Gulfstream.
Yeah, I knew Durkin was here for years, and then I wasn't sure when the shift over. That might have been one of the first years Vic Stauffer was the announcer. But Harlan's Holiday was a great win, and certainly too long ago for me.
He was an amazing horse. I used to love watching him run. That was one of my first years working for Keeneland, and I just that horse, I'll never forget that horse. He was a real pleasure to watch. What kind of horse was he to train?
You know, he was workmanlike. This horse was extremely intelligent, Harlan's Holiday was. And, you know, he started his career, I don't know, most people don't remember, but he broke his maiden in an Ohio-bred stake at Thistle Downs and then came back and won another little Ohio-bred stake. And then we decided to put him in open company in the Cradle. And, of course, he wins the Cradle as well. But, talent-wise, he was kind of, you really didn't, I guess you could say he was unassuming. You didn't notice him around the barn and in a group of other horses, but he knew what to do and when to do it, and he was a little machine to be around. He'd pluck off 12s without any trouble, and when a horse looked him in the eye, he had a ton of fight in him, and I think early on he learned to win, and he just kept getting better, and certainly a good stallion, too.
Visiting with trainer Ken McPeak here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Harvey Wallbanger set to go to the post in the Express Bet Florida Derby later this afternoon. And, Kenny, you talked about giving him a little time after that Holy Bull win. You could have come back in the Fountain of Youth, but you decided to wait until this spot here this afternoon. Talk about making that decision. How come?
Well, it's a bit of a gamble, but he ran so well off the layoff. And just was concerned about coming back and then back again. I mean, he we're gambling a little bit that if he fires a big shot today, if he's third or better, he'll likely punch his ticket to get enough points to get in the Derby. And then we think a mile and a quarter is going to be even better for him. But I don't know. You know, all this is – it's all gray and none of this is black and white. But it was just an instinctual thing. And like I said, he had a long spacing between his maiden win and the Holy Bull, and it seemed to take him to another level. And we're kind of replicating that same pattern here.
Next week you're going to be in Lexington. A hometown boy looking for a victory in the Bluegrass Stakes with Signalman. We'll be there to broadcast that race as well. Give us an update on the son of General Quarters. How's he doing?
He breathes this morning at Gulfstream and Company with Restless Rider, 59-4. The two of them went together. That ought to tee both of them up for Keeneland opening weekend. That's Bluegrass Ashland doubles hard to pull off, so we'll see if we can do it. The two of them are just doing fantastic. Could have run him in the Florida Derby as well, and would have felt just as well taking him over. I don't think I did a very good job getting him ready for his first race down here. He had had a little hiccup in his work routine. We had a work that went too fast early on, and it kind of jammed him up a little bit, and I had to regroup on all that. And then I think I left a short horse in the led over a short horse in the Fountain of Youth, and then he pulled a shoe going into the first turn, so he came home shoeless right front, which is always hard, and he still got beat six lengths. So I think you're going to see a big move forward with him in his next race, and he's already shown an affinity for Keeneland, and winning the Bluegrass is always a big deal.
Well, I love that horse, as Mike Penna would say. He's always been good to me. he's so game. He reminds me of his father, and I just think he's really really a classy animal. He's always giving you his best, and that's all you can ask, really.
You know, this horse is real versatile too. It wouldn't surprise me if he would be able to run 7/8 or even a one-turn mile if we ask him to, but right now he's in a nice two-turn rhythm, and we'll keep that up. He's going to probably need to punch a few points on this race too to get in the Derby, but same thing. I mean, I think if I can get through these two preps with both of these colts and get some points to get in, I'm bringing two real live shots into Churchill in the spring, so our fingers crossed everything goes the way it's supposed to.
All right, Kenny, now that horse racing talk is out of the way, let's get to the important stuff. Give me your best Jay Billis, and break down that UK win from last night. Big effort, huh?
What? I didn't see it. I was asleep. There's no way. I mean, we had...
Come on.
We had workers at 10 after 5 this morning, guys, and we were humming through them, and when that basketball game starts at 10, forget about it. I was stone cold asleep. I did tape it, and I wouldn't mind watching the last 5 minutes or so. But until they schedule this thing a little bit better, I don't see how the kids can stay up and watch that. But I'm sure some of them do. But I missed it. Look, I'm excited that they can keep going and everything. I do wish those players would stay a little bit longer, though. We'll see.
He is trainer Kenny McPeak here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, I know it's a busy day for you. We'll let you go. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift card in your email, courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, so you can go pick out something nice for yourself, and really appreciate the visit here this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right. Good luck, buddy. He gone.
He's got a gazillion things to do.
That's it. He's out of here.
Yeah. And not surprising that a horse trainer might miss a 10 o'clock basketball game.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But he's such a diehard, though.
He
bleeds blue. I mean, yeah. He's a UK guy. I thought for sure if anybody's going to stay up and watch it, I thought it would be Kenny.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might have to stay up all night at that point, because yeah. You get out of bed at 4, so, you know.
I wonder if Suge made the whole game.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
It depends on where he went to dinner.
That's right, yeah. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to another break. Busy second half of the show is coming up. We have Mark Hennig set to go with us here at 9 o'clock. Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, 922. And Gabby Gaudette from TVG and Keeneland with us at 940 Eastern. So a lot of things to get to in the second half of the show. But before we get to that point, when we come back from this break, we'll bring you our Industry Star of the Week segment presented by Stuart Morris. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and earn $50 back on every $500 wagered on the Keeneland Spring Meet, up to $1,000 wagered with code HRRN at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Foaling season is underway, and the highly anticipated first foals for Champion Classic Empire are here. Breeders are seriously impressed with the quality, size, and bone he is putting into his progeny. Early foals include a very athletic colt who is out of a half-sister to Champion Merit Beholder, as well as leading sire Into Mischief and Ashford newcomer Mendelssohn, bred by Team Valor International, and a quality first foal out of Sweet Saturday, a half-sister to Exaggerator, bred by China Horse Club International. Hurry and call the team at Coolmore to get your mare booked to Champion Classic Empire before it's too late.
Racing at Gulfstream.
The championship meet may be over, but there is still plenty of racing ahead at Gulfstream Park. Join us every Thursday through Sunday for more live racing and events starting April 4th. Catch plenty of great wagering opportunities every week, plus be sure to check out our calendar of events. For full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com. That's GulfstreamPark.com.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist drifting out to the center of the track, but he's far in front. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Florida Derby.
3 years ago, Nyquist won the Grade 1 Florida Derby and kept his undefeated record intact 5 weeks later beneath the Twin Spires when he captured the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. And that winning performance in the Florida Derby makes Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, an Eclipse champion at two when he won three Grade Ones, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, undefeated in eight starts when winning the Kentucky Derby, and the first champion two-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the Great Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slough. Watch for first yearlings by Nyquist at select sales this year. Learn more about all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
Coming to the top of this fairground stretch, it's Sueño, Lemniscate, By My Standards. On the outside is Country House looking to gain ground as they come for home with under a quarter of a mile to go. War of Wills in traffic and still well back and still a lot to do for War of Will with a furlong to go. And it's Spinoff who's taken a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Sueño, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby. Spinoff was second, Sueño third, Country House fourth. then Mr. Money, Roiland. Next was Bankett, followed home by War of Will, Hog Queen Kussel, Lemniscate, and Lemonite.
Big effort by upsetter By My Standards last Saturday in the Bayou, the Louisiana Derby. He punched his ticket to the Run for the Roses on the first Saturday in May by virtue of that victory. That was John Dooley with the call. By My Standards could not have been any more impressive. It was a race that most people thought would be somewhat of a coronation for War of Will, but he just didn't fire. He's back in training now, but By My Standards did fire, and he leads us into our Industry Star of the Week segment presented by Stuart Morris here on the Equine Forum. And today's Industry Star of the Week is Josh Stevens, the man who selected By My Standards as a very young horse, and he's had a lot of success not just with the Louisiana Derby winner, but there's a little horse by the name of Divisadero that's out there who was selected by Josh Stevens as well, and that makes him our Industry Star of the Week. Josh, first of all, welcome and congratulations.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning, and congrats on that huge effort from By My Standards last weekend. By My Standards, Divisadero, just part of your success story. What's the secret, man? How do you do it?
I've got good owners. They gave me opportunities from a very young age, I guess. I can't say that I did it myself. We've always had a pretty good team behind us.
What do you remember about By My Standards as a young horse when you were first looking at him?
You know, when I went down to that sale, I knew we didn't have a big bankroll. We never really do. I've always been kind of a value buyer, and value is always put in perspective by how the horse performs, of course. But the way that I approach the two-year-old sales is just to watch the breezes and try to forget about the times. That's hard to do sometimes, but try to forget about the times. And I just love the horse's breeze. When I went to look at him at the barn, he was a little immature. But when you're buying on a budget, you've kind of got to have the vision to see where they're going to end up. And I thought that this horse had everything that we were looking for.
Talk about that creativity that you need when you don't have a lot of money. You got to find things that other people don't see. Talk about how you do that.
You know, at the two-year-old sales especially, timing is everything, literally. You know, we're looking at 9 and 4s and 10 flats and horses that are galloping out 3/8s and 33s. What I'm looking for is what I've taught myself is a horse that moves well over the track. Even being a synthetic track, I still think you can catch the horses that are moving well and will transition to dirt well. But on that day that horse breezed, there was about a 15 to 20 mile an hour headwind at a certain point throughout the day, and it came and went as the breeze show went on. So there was a little bit of a handicap there in the sense of times. So I think that when you have something like that, a headwind or something that a track variant like that, I tend to let in horses that I might not have. You know, typically I don't look at, you know, 11s or more than that. I try to cut a little bit out, or I'd be working all day. But this horse just moved well over the track, and we had already bought another Golden Sense at the September sale, who ended up to be Mr. Money. So we already kind of had a line from the farm in Ocala that was breaking him that horse might be okay. So I'd say we went in a little biased, you know, with the freshman sire and the fact that we landed on another one, it didn't hurt.
Josh Stevens here with us, our Industry Star of the Week. This segment presented by our friend Stuart Morris. He's talking about By My Standards, the Louisiana Derby winner. You also picked out Divisadero, and again, just a small part of your success story. Well, I guess now he's become a very big part of your success story, Josh. Tell us a little bit about Divisadero when he was a young horse. You were first looking at him.
We actually bought Divisadero in the fall of 2013 as a yearling. Quick side note, we had bought a horse named Breaking Lucky in the weanling sale that fall before we bought Divisadero, who also ended up being a pretty good horse, placed in the Whitney and the Stephen Foster and the Clark Handicap. But Divisadero was our first foray into buying yearlings. And honestly, the same thing with Divisadero. He was a beautiful horse, looked great on the end of the shank, fluid moving, big walk, but an immature horse. He's a May foal. You know, we were looking for value there. We bought him early in the sale. Prices were much higher than what we were willing to pay. But just everything we wanted in a horse, but also a horse that needed to mature a little bit. He was in the first group of horses that I was ever able to buy as a bloodstock agent, and took us to three straight Derby days. We won graded stakes on three straight Derby days, so that was pretty amazing for me getting started.
Yeah, very much so, Josh. Well, listen, we really appreciate your visit here this morning. Congratulations on being named our Industry Star of the Week, and congratulations on all your success. Best of luck as you make your way back toward Derby Day 2019 with By My Standards. If people want to learn more about you, all they have to do is go to your website. It's jsbloodstock.com, and he is our Industry Star of the Week here for this Saturday morning. Appreciate it, Josh. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and of course, that segment brought to you by Stuart Morris. And don't forget, Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. He'd like to thank all of their owners, his clients, and his entire team, his success because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, which include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Simply visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. We're back with hour number two here on the Equine Forum. We're live from Gulfstream Park. We'll kick it off with trainer Mark Hennig. That's next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Skoll, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
It's War of Will, who's taking charge in the Spinal Fairgrounds Furlong for Tyler Gaffalione. Pull clear from Manny Wah. Hunt Creek Hustle is staying on. Puska Buffet between horses. They're close to home. It's War of Will. Runs out impressively in the LeCompte.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center. But Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld, overlooking the Walking Ring, Gulfstream Park, Hallandale Beach, Florida. Powder blue skies, a few small puffy white clouds making their way through from time to time, and those palm trees just serving for a perfect backdrop for what is going to be a spectacular day of racing. Should be a fast main track and a firm turf course for the running of today's races. The 68th Florida Derby coming up shortly after 6:30 Eastern. Our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Should be a good one as we continue down the road to the Kentucky Derby. Next Saturday, we move to Keeneland. Of course, this show presented in partnership by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence, and heading down the road to Keeneland for the Bluegrass next week. So a lot of Derby talk, and who better to do it with than our first special guest here in hour number two, who is trainer Mark Hennig. He sends out Fountain of Youth runner-up Bourbon War in today's Florida Derby, looking to turn the tables on Code of Honor and everybody else. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming over, too. Busy morning for you. We appreciate you stopping by.
Well, we got lucky. The track closed early, so it worked out well.
Nice cap, by the way.
Thanks.
The Bourbon Lane cap, the Bourbon War on the side.
Yeah, they just came up with those.
Sipping on a little bourbon this morning or no?
No. I don't think I've ever had bourbon.
Really?
No.
Will you if he wins the Florida Derby today?
I might have a sip.
They might pour a bottle over his head.
Look, I mean, that last race, so spectacular. He was motoring home. Most people thinking, okay, now he gets an extra furlong to run today, going a mile and an eighth. He might get a fast pace set up again. A lot of things working in his favor this afternoon. Your thoughts on that last race?
Well, I for me, the takeaway, I obviously liked the gallop out. More importantly to me, I liked his last 70 yards, the way his head just was dropping. He was getting lower and lower, and you could just see that he had switched leads and transitioned off the turn. The wire does come up early, and you could see that he was very focused on what he was trying to do. And I thought as he got to the – as he – like just in the last 50 yards, I mean, he just lowered his head and was so focused on trying to get there. And he was – I mean, I thought he was gobbling up ground really quickly. Maybe Shug's horse was waiting on him a little bit, but he almost waited too long, you know.
You hear people say, get low for the dough. Talk about that a little bit, about how a horse, you know, gets low when they're running hard.
Yeah, I mean, especially to watch a young horse do that. You know, I mean, you can watch this horse train in the morning, and if you don't give him a target, he's just going to kind of go through his paces and do what he does. I just thought that was very impressive, you know, and coming off of that, you know, the way he did gallop out, you know, it did factor into the way we were going to train going forward, because I thought he actually, you know, extended himself further after the wire than the rest of them. So, you know, the main thing was we're coming back in 4 weeks. We'd had 6 weeks and 6 weeks in the two races prior. So I thought, you know, we got, if we run here in 4 weeks, we got 5 weeks to the Derby. You know, if we can get the points, the main thing now is just try to keep him fresh for today, in the last 4 weeks. So, you know, do a little work, but keep him fresh enough that we aren't squeezing the lemon too early.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Hopefully we did it right.
Is that a difficult thing? Is it a different, you know, balancing act?
It's always different for different horses. You know, some of them come out and take races harder than others. He was eating great, you know, giving us all the signs and great energy in his gallop. So, you know, I felt like we were keeping him at that level, you know, where hopefully he doesn't move backwards at all.
If you were to pick a word or two words to describe Bourbon War, how would you do it?
Quirky and talented.
Quirky, how come?
Well, he's just got, you know, he's a very he's very oral horse. I mean, he's always wants to have something to play with, and he's just got his quirks in the stall mostly. He's great on the racetrack. He's perfect. He doesn't ever make a mistake out there, but he sticks his tongue out all the time, curls it up though when he sticks it out. He flips it over and curls it. And if, you know, you think most horses, when they do that, you play with their tongue. He baits you, and then he snaps like a snapping curve.
It's like a fishing lure.
Yeah, exactly. I told him, I said, one of these days you're going to forget to put your tongue away before you snap.
That's funny how they have those little habits, you know. But and that all plays into the happiness thing, right? As trainers, we always say, you know, you got to keep them happy and fit, right?
Right.
So, and when you're lightening up on a horse, sometimes if you lighten up on them too much, they get a little rambunctious, and then you have to go back. It's a balancing act, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and with him, I just, you know, I think he needs you got to keep throwing new things at him. Like if we move his, he's got a few balls hanging in the doorway and stuff, and he likes it when you move one away or hang a double snap, you know, just on a screw eye so he can fidget with it. You know, he's just that kind of horse. He ain't the new to play with, you know. So
I've always thought, like, the best horses are the intelligent ones. And you've been around so many great horses, you know, when you work for Wayne and in your own stable. Do you find that to be the case?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, the ones that pick up their lessons quickly and they know what's being asked of them. And sometimes, you know, like in this case, I think he was smart enough to know the difference between morning and afternoon. And he honestly didn't turn us on much through the summer. Last summer, there were times when we were like a little concerned. You know, we got this tappet, pretty expensive tappet that's not showing a whole lot. But he, you know, he's just one of those horses. At times he'd work well and other times he wouldn't. But, you know, ever since he ran, he's been totally focused. So, but that's why he paid what he did on that first start.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's it like for a trainer to be on the Derby trail with a talented three-year-old like this?
It's great. I mean, I've fortunately been a little involved the last few years. We had the horse Beasley a couple years ago that we thought was capable of being in these kind of races, and we took him to Tampa for the Tampa Bay Derby. Last year we had Strike Power, who was kind of like the complete opposite of what we're dealing with this year. You know, last year we were like, we knew he had a lot of talent, a lot of speed, but were we really going to be able to get the mile and an eighth? And we, you know, the owners, Mr. Adam, and to his credit, he said to me, between the Fountain of Youth, which we had just finished second in, and the Florida Derby, he said, "Mark, I don't really think he can go a mile and a quarter, but you know, I think we got to win, run 1-2 in the Florida Derby. Otherwise, I don't think that the horse belongs, you know, in the Kentucky Derby." Which I thought, you know, it's just a tribute to his wisdom and knowledge of the game. But and he was right. I mean, you know, the horse is just one. You could look at him and kind of see he's not that kind of horse. He's a middle distance kind of horse.
He wasn't really cut out for that, but a lot of times owners want to press on, and that's the worst part. You've trained for him for a long time, so I'm sure you've taught him a few things along the way.
He's teaching me every day. <Is he>?
Mark Henning with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, you've had the privilege to be part of that Kentucky Derby one other time, 1993. Yeah. Can you believe it's been 26 years since Personal Hope?
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He's only 32.
I looked that up, and I said, you had to be kidding me. The guy's not that old.
Yeah, 26 years ago. And I, you know, certainly if we're fortunate enough to get back there, I think I definitely will appreciate it a lot more than I did at that age. You know, I think
how old were you?
To tell young guys as they're coming up, if you could fortunate enough to have these kind of horses at that age like I was, you know, soak it in, because it doesn't last, you know. And I was 27.
27. Yeah. Yeah. Did you think it would take you 26 years to get back there
again?
Oh, no, maybe?
I thought I had it made.
This is going to happen every year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. Just take it in and appreciate everything that comes your way.
It is funny when you look back, because I've known you a long time. I don't know, over 30 years, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And you look back at you know, what you did or whatever, and you just can't believe the time has passed that quickly. You know, it's amazing. Because horse trainers have that memory, like we remember all the good stuff.
Right, right.
Right? The bad stuff we kind of try to forget.
I think, honestly, if you did, we've got the kids. I think the kids make you realize you're getting older more than anything else. Because otherwise it just seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
So, we're hoping to be part of the trail.
What does being in the Kentucky Derby mean for a trainer?
You know, the year we went with Personal Hope, Mac Miller won the race for the Melons and
Sea Hero.
Yeah, and Lee Lewis. If you go back and look, we ran Personal Hope without Lasix, because that was that time when you really didn't want to run a Stallion Prospect on Lasix, but he could have. I guess I should have run him on Lasix, but he turned for home. He turned for home. You know, Gary Stevens was sitting on him with a, you know, just looked like he hadn't moved, looked like a statue at the quarter pole. I've got a picture of it in my house going by the quarter pole, and Gary's just like this. So, but Sea Hero went by him that day, and Lee Lewis, who I still train for and he's one of my best friends, said to me after that race, he said, "You know, I guess it, you know, we just got to wait a few more years." We were both younger guys at the time. And he said, "You know, look at Mr. Mellon and Mac Miller." He said, they've put in their dues. So, you know, hopefully now, a little later, I'm not quite as old as Mac Miller was then, but I'll take it.
Yeah, it'd be a whole different statue in the paddock at Saratoga, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be just amazing, and that every trainer will tell you that is one experience that, if you're lucky enough to have it, it's an experience that makes you want to come back and do it over and over and over again. Is that a true statement?
I think it is, but yeah. You know, I've never been in a. I've had horses that could have gone that way, and never tried to force them. You know, I think in 26 years in between, you know, probably this is the horse that I would feel most confident that I've had. I had a horse named Eddington that was kind of trying to get the points. He was third in the Gotham, and he's a very talented horse later. But, you know, he wasn't mentally probably ready for it at the time. And so, you know, I feel like we've got the horse.
And a mile and a quarter with this horse shouldn't be an issue.
Let's hope not. We've got to get the mile and eighth first and take one race at a time.
Yeah, we're talking about the Derby like we're sitting here Derby week, right? Yeah, we've got another Derby to
take.
Most
definitely, exactly. Yeah, and, we aren't in yet, and, you know, we need to. Our main goal today is get some points and move forward.
Have you seen anything different with this horse coming out of that Fountain of Youth from that time to now? Are there any significant changes, or is he still kind of the same horse that he was there?
I would say he's gotten more into the feed tub. He's a horse that's still developing. He wasn't a real big two-year-old, and, you know, I think he's growing. He's been growing all winter and filling out, too. So, but his appetite's been excellent since the Fountain of Youth. His gallops and stuff, I think, are great. I kind of, his last breeze, I was telling my wife, I was kind of looking for a little quicker breeze in his last breeze. And I think in hindsight, if I'd have put him in some, just given him a little target to run at, it probably would have, he definitely would have worked faster. But the way his energy's been since the breeze coming up to the race, I told her, I said, you know, I think it was just good luck that he worked exactly the way he should have, because I wouldn't change a thing now.
You give a leg up to jockey Irod Ortiz Jr. He's been aboard this horse each of the last three times. He knows them very, very well. When a trainer comes into the paddock and the jockey comes walking down, do you have to say much to him, or do you just say, hey, go get it done?
I don't need to tell him much. I mean, he's been on this horse, you know, and in these races, he's actually given me more confidence in the horse than I had on my own starting out. I mean, I you know, when he broke his maiden, it was kind of a surprise. I was in Aruba. You know, we
oh, the life of Mark Henning.
Wow.
We didn't, you know, we weren't anticipating that he would, you know, be this kind of horse necessarily, because he really hadn't shown that in the mornings. But, you know, ever since that race, Rajiv Miraj texted me in Aruba and said, that's a special horse. And it, he was really, really high on him. I'm like, you know, what is he talking about? You know, this horse has never shown me he was special. But, you know, I think since then, ever since he ran, it's just like, boom, the light's on. This is what I've been doing all this training for. And I didn't breeze him between that race and the Remsen because it was really short rest. And so when we had Irad, we got Irad on him because we were going to be coming to Florida, and we wanted to have Irad, who was going to be in Florida. And Irad got off of him that day, and he was fourth, and he, you know, kind of came out of the gate sluggish. He got slammed on both sides and, you know, almost went to his knees. And Irad came back, and he said, this is a really good horse to me that day. And
wow.
I'm like, you know, that's too – top riders telling you that he's a really good horse. And he said, I gave him a lot of schooling today because he said the opportunity presented itself. And he said, and then after the allowance race, he said to me, he came back and he said, he just pointed at him and he said, this horse is very talented. And he said, he said all of the lessons he got in the Remsen paid off in that allowance race. And so I think he's got the utmost confidence in the horse, and it's a great feeling as a trainer because, I mean, we've legged up a lot of riders that didn't have confidence in their mouth going out there. So I feel very good about having Irad on him.
Here's the way it works for me. I'm so superstitious, Mark, that I would feel like after he broke his maiden and you were in Aruba, I would need to watch every race that he ran from Aruba. I would be sitting in Aruba right now watching the Florida Derby. Well, listen, man, we appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy day for you, so we'll let you get to it. But all the best with Bourbon War, not just today, but moving forward as well, and all your horses.
All right.
You do a great job, so keep it rolling.
Thanks, guys. You guys do an excellent job, too.
All right. Oh, and you know what? Before we let you go, real quick, we're going to give you a gift from Embrace the Race, and I brought this personally for you, an officially licensed HRN Embrace the Race cap. And it licensed because we got them from those guys. So.
Wonderful. That's nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right.
And, go get it done.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Mark Henning here on HRRN. And, of course, Embrace the Race is where you can wear what you love. It's EmbraceTheRace.com. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. I want to remind you that you won't want to miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse magazine and tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown special. It is 12 weekly issues for only $12. That's right. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, you can get each issue as soon as it is released. No waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/TC. We're back to visit with our friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. He's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Florida Sire Stakes horses run for Florida bonus money with a $100,000 bonus up for grabs to the winner of the Florida Derby and a $25,000 bonus going to the winner of the Gulfstream Park Oaks. The Florida Derby has been won by a long line of Florida breds, including Unbridled and Hale's Hope, while the Florida Oaks has been won by Florida bred Ivana Vinalot, a great race mare, and the dam of Champion Songbird. And don't forget Florida Cup Day tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. Six races featuring a $15,000 bonus for each winner. It pays to breed, sell, own, and race Florida breds.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood Sprinter Justin Phillip.
Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and Stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Philip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Philip standing at Castleton Lions.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
It's Maximum Security beginning to get away. He went 45-3 for an opening half mile, and he's got him on the stretch now. Quarter of a mile left to go. Maximum Security bids this field a pleasant Wednesday good afternoon. He's open by 7, by 8, and still moving away. Second is 1st and 3 on the outside and Hard Bell, then Rayo My King and War Bridle. But at the 3/16, Maximum Security making 1-9 look like easy money. He's leveling off powerfully. Let's just look at him go. It's all Maximum Security in a powerhouse run. Maximum Security by 15. 1st and 3, 2nd. War Bridle, 3rd. Hard Bell, 4th.
Winning the way a 1-9 shot should, that's Maximum Security just running away, winning by 18 lengths in that allowance race here at Gulfstream back on February 20th. He is a perfect 3-for-3. The son of Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner New Year's Day will be back in action later today in the 68th running of the $1 million Express Bet Florida Derby, and we'll have that coverage for you coming up here this afternoon beginning 5 Eastern on the network. You can tune in to myself and Jude and Dr. Dan Mason and Bobby Newman as we bring you coverage of not just the Florida Derby, but the Pan American, which is the stakes race preceding it. This is a program with 14 races, 7 stakes. 4 of those are graded worth $2.3 million in purses. And don't forget, you have that huge mandatory payout in the 20-cent Rainbow Six, at least expecting it to be a huge payout because the carryover is more than $2.6 million. The pool expected to exceed $10 million here this afternoon. That's races 9 through 14. Do you have your ticket figured out yet, JT?
Well, I do, actually.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Are you going to post it anywhere later?
No.
Pope Jude? Nothing?
No.
Keep it for yourself.
I really,
with everybody else.
I don't really think, posting tickets is a great idea. I don't want to be responsible.
Posting my ticket is never a good idea. If you want to cost people money, sure, go ahead and post it all you want.
Yeah. Well, I'm very small player in that bet, and I usually go for the downs. Like, I throw out all the favorites.
Right, right. Well, you have to. Well, mandatory payout, you can throw some in, right?
Yeah.
All you have to do is.
You can.
Right. All you have to do is win it. Our Equine Forum poll question today at HRN on Twitter. Who do you think is going to win today's Florida Derby? And we gave you, well, really 4 choices. We gave you Hidden Scroll, Code of Honor, Bourbon War, and Other. And if you choose Other, please specify. This is shocking. Nobody has picked Other. Not one. Everybody looking at this race is a 3-horse race. Hidden Scroll, the leader in the clubhouse right now with 35% of the vote, but it's very close. Code of Honor, Bourbon War, each have 32%. Shocking. I wonder what Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence would think about that. He's with us now here on HRN. Mark, what do you think? Shocking or what?
I'm not that surprised. I kind of like these 3 myself. I'm probably not going to fall in line with everybody. And I'm no expert by a long shot, but I definitely like Code of Honor. I mean, there's something about that horse that's always impressed me. And I'm still
going to
stand behind him.
We're just telling our listeners shortly before you joined us that our coverage today kicks off at 5 Eastern. It is presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA, and we are really grateful for all that you've been able to do the past couple of years here with us. It's been a wonderful partnership, a great relationship. And Red Brand, not just a supporter of HRN, but you have branched out and really made an impact in supporting thoroughbred racing in so many different facets. And then you tie in your relationship with the folks out at Old Friends with Michael Blowen. Talk a little bit about that commitment by Red Brand to support the sport of horse racing.
Our approach is basically that I really want to be part of the industry and not just one of these companies that shows up a week before Kentucky Derby and a week before Breeders' Cup. We're involved in the industry all year long. I'm in the Farm Managers Club of Kentucky. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm a member of the Thoroughbred Club. I'm on the board of directors at Old Friends. We're very involved with the HBPA, Breeders' Cup, NTRA, you know, TOVA, you guys, and we take that very seriously. You know, I use Bob Baffert, part of our group, and, you know, I trust Bob immensely. Bob and Jill have been a huge help in guiding us, and, you know, the biggest thing we want to be is, you know, part of the industry, not just, you know, here to get what we can get. We actually want to be a help. We're really trying to listen to what people's needs are and develop products based on that.
When you take on these projects, and you have so many of them going on, what's the driving force? What makes you want to be so involved in the sport?
You know, for one, I believe in the sport. I really like it, and I love the history of it. I like the tradition. I've really grown to, you know, build some good friendships through it. I like the people, and I want to see it continue. And I think that, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're really trying to help with, we're actually getting involved in some initiatives right now in California revolving around the things going on at Santa Anita, is I just want people to know, you know, that there's a lot more to the sport than just what you see on the first Saturday in May. And, you know, these horses, these athletes are very well cared for. The vast majority of them are really, really well cared for. And, you know, I tell people all the time, in most cases, they probably live better than we do. I really appreciate the fact that people, you know, take that level of effort with them. I like the fact that, you know, Michael Blowen cares so much about them. And I grew up on a farm myself. I've been around agriculture my whole life. And, you know, I just really enjoy the sport and the industry.
Your product is so instrumental in the development of a lot of these horses. I mean, it's so important that they're protected by your fence, which is, you know, as safe as a fence could be from the time they're born until they get to the track and then when they get turned out and all that. I mean, that's the thing that I think separates you from a lot of different entities that are involved in our sport.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's a product that is becoming more and more accepted because people are realizing you don't have to change the way your farm looks to use it. We put it in farms that have traditional 4 or 3-board fence and put it behind it, and it still serves the purpose of keeping things out and absorbing the energy if somebody runs into it. It's long-lasting. It's very cost-effective. Most of the farms that I work with tell me one of the things they like about it the most is the reduced maintenance. You know, if you go through storms like we've had, you know, a lot of this year throughout the United States, you know, you're going to have repairs, you're going to have damage. And one of the pieces of our product that is really nice is the fact that it's easy to repair. And most of the time, you can reuse it even if a tree fell on it. You just replace the planks and the posts and stretch the wire back up and you can keep going. At the worst case, you can replace a small section. So, and the safety is paramount. I mean, it's interesting. I was talking to Bob Baffert when he first started working with us and, you know, started learning about the product and talking about it. And Bob said, he kind of paused for a minute and he said, why doesn't everybody use this? He said, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great quote, and it's a great take from Bob Baffert, and it's so logical. You would think that every single farm would be using Red Brand fence. We certainly are an advocate of it, and Mark, you know, Old Friends uses it. They've been using it for a long time out there, and it's a great product, and we can't thank you enough for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. Real quick before we let you go, I know you've got a busy day, so very quickly, though, you mentioned Bob Baffert being part of the Red Brand team now. Our Big A, Anthony Stabile, is also part of that team. You have jockey Drayden Van Dyke, who serves as a spokesperson. I'm still waiting for that commercial to come out where it's Bob Baffert giving a leg up to Drayden and then trying to give a leg up to the Big A in the paddock before a race. I think that would be brilliant.
That's a really good idea. We have another ambassador outside of horse racing. He's actually in the auto racing side, Ray Everham, who was Jeff Gordon's crew chief. And, you know, Ray and I had discussed having a horsepower versus horsepower commercial with Bob Baffert.
Yeah, that would be really cool, too. And but I'm not paying for Bob Baffert's hernia surgery after he tries to lift up the Big A and give him a leg. Even that one leg is going to be...
It's not happening.
Well, Mark, listen, we appreciate it, brother. Thank you for your support. And yeah. Hey, listen, good luck today. Enjoy the races, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be involved, and we really appreciate you guys and everything you do for us.
All right, Mark Otto, Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And once again, a reminder, that coverage today, 5 to 7 Eastern. We may go a few minutes past 7, depending on the timing of the Florida Derby, which is set to be run shortly after 6:30 Eastern time. But join us beginning at 5 o'clock. Myself, Jude, Dan Mason, and Bobby Newman, all with you later today here on the network. All right, going to get to another break. We'll come back, and the lovely and talented Gabby Gaudette is in the on-deck circle. We'll visit with her next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Bet any track from anywhere. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and earn $50 back on every $500 wagered on the Keeneland Spring Meet. Up to $1,000 wagered with code HRRN at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of individual stakeholders consisting of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders. The National HBPA is leading into the future, and its affiliates are committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. The National HBPA is headquartered in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Keeneland Training Center on Paris Pike. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Camelback and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From bowling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Eddie Woods is the perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Graded Stakes winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and 4 champions.
Big Brown bounding home!
Midnight Blue could not have been more impressive!
This is a scintillating performance from Lady Eli.
And look at this guy go. Instagram.
Galilean, who will put on another impressive display.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners on Bridal Bell, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This successful son of AP Indy has sired six millionaires, including 2017 Eclipse champion three-year-old West Coast. A dominant winner of the Grade 1 Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, West Coast also placed in the Breeders' Cup Classic and was runner-up in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup. In the sales ring, Juveniles by Flatter brought up to $600,000, and his yearlings sold up to $460,000. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Alternation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alternation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alternation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alternation, stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
Hidden Scroll puts away Global Campaign. Now he has to deal with Vekoma and on the inside Code of Honor. And Code of Honor means business. He's into the clear and challenging the favorite as they turn for home. Less than a quarter of a mile to go in the Fountain of Youth. Hidden Scroll digs deep, but Code of Honor blows past. And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center. But Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length over a flying Bourbon War second. Vekoma's in a picture for third with Hidden Scroll in 143 and four.
Welcome back, Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, my beautiful wife Michelle, producing on site with us. Lee Delapina is back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. We are live from Gulfstream Park, Hallandale Beach, Florida. Pete Aiello had the call of the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Code of Honor holding off a fast-closing Bourbon War. Of course, Hidden Scroll was sent off as the favorite that day. Got caught up in a pace duel, faded to fourth. Today we see a rematch between those top two and Hidden Scroll, so that should be good. You throw in the likes of Harvey Wallbanger from the barn of Ken McPeak, who joined us on this program earlier. You have the undefeated Maximum Security from the barn of Jason Service. Todd Pletcher, the winningest trainer in the history of the Florida Derby, is back with Current. He's a bit of a long shot, but hey, you can never count out Todd in these big races. A lot of different storylines, a lot of angles, and we're looking forward to bringing you the coverage coming up later this afternoon. One quick note before we get to our next guest, who is Gabby Gaudette. We'll visit with her here in just a minute, but this is a message for Thoroughbred Industry students able to make it out to Keeneland next Friday, April 5th, in Lexington, Kentucky. Students who are enrolled full-time and work in the Thoroughbred industry or have parents who work in the industry have a chance to win $1,000 scholarships or $10,000 Run Happy scholarships. That's right. They're going to be giving away 10 $1,000 scholarships, and two of those $10,000 Run Happy scholarships. They'll be awarded throughout the day. It is College Scholarship Day at Keeneland, Friday, April 5th. You can pre-register right now by going to Keeneland.com/CSD. College Scholarship Day, CSD. So it's Keeneland.com/CSD. Pre-register now, but that's pretty cool. Gabby Gaudette going to be at Keeneland working the spring meet for the very first time next week.
I am. I'm very, very excited about it. And to be honest, I've never been to a spring meeting at Keeneland. I've always had to be somewhere else. I had the opportunity to work during the fall meet this past year, and it was absolutely incredible. So I cannot wait for Bluegrass Day. Everybody tells me about it, and I've never experienced it for myself, so I'm very excited.
It's cool. It's jam-packed. You won't be able to move, especially if it's a nice day. Even if it's not a nice day, the turnout will just be spectacular. It's a lot of fun. It should be a great race.
It should be a great race. I mean, and that's kind of the cool thing about it, is that we've been following these horses down here and kind of following the storylines and where they're going to go, whether it be the Florida Derby or the Bluegrass. So, you know, we have at least a little bit of a backstory knowledge going into Keeneland and the Bluegrass. So I'm excited for opening week. It's going to be crazy, though. I'm packing up the car, leaving tomorrow morning, probably like 4:45, driving back, probably take 2 days to get back to Kentucky, and then have to be on site in Lexington for Wednesday for the Bluegrass Draw.
So something just seems wrong about calling you Gabby Gaudette now, because you are officially Gabby Cassie. So
that's
what should
right.
we be going with here? Gaudette Cassie, or is it Gabby Cassie, Gabby Gaudette? What's the proper way?
Well, Gabby Gaudette, I'm going to keep. We actually had this conversation. So Gabby Gaudette, I'm going to keep as kind of like my on-air type of name, not change that, but legally it'll be Gabby Cassie.
Stage name.
Yeah.
Gabby Gaudette.
Yeah.
All right. But Gabby Cassie.
Why not? I mean, Gaudette's such a fabulous name in racing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it goes, right?
Well, yeah.
Gabby Gaudette.
I mean, and everybody knows you.
G squared.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
G squared.
I mean, even my niece calls me Aunt Gigi, so
yeah, right,
I can't.
There you
know.
Go. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's very wise of you.
You told me the other day that, by the way, married to Mark Cassie's son, Norm Cassie, that your dog mm-hmm. has been sick. And
yeah.
so you were very concerned about making the trip from Florida back up to Kentucky with a sick puppy dog.
Yeah.
How's the dog?
He's doing much better. We have a joke. He's the most annoying dog in the world because he just like he was sick for 3 days straight and now he's just wired and he's just ready to go. But no, he's much, much better now. And hopefully he may he's going to be sitting shotgun in my car because Norm, for some reason, thinks his car is better than mine. So, you know, I get stuck with the dog.
Wow.
So if he gets sick, he gets sick in your car.
Exactly. You're right.
The wives always take the brunt, don't they?
Yeah. Nice guy,
no,
that Norm Cassie.
No wonder I'm such a model husband.
Well, Gabby, let's talk, first of all, about your role, what you're going to be doing at Keeneland for that spring meet. This is a new position for you. Then we'll segue into talking about the Florida Derby here today. But tell us a little bit about what we can expect from Gabby Gaudette when you make that appearance at Keeneland.
So it's Scott Hazelton and I are pretty much going to be doing the heavy lifting, and we're going to be almost, in a sense, double-dipping between Keeneland simulcast and also TVG. So it's there's going to be a lot going on for both of us, but we're going to be in charge of hosting the Today at Keeneland, the morning show every single day, and then doing paddock duties for the simulcast show for Keeneland in the afternoon, and then we will be doing graded post-stakes interviews and also hosting press conferences after the graded stakes races. So we're diving into Keeneland coverage for sure, but we will also be doing some TVG coverage as well.
All right, I'm going to give you your first tip of the entire meet.
Okay.
You like steak?
Oh, yeah.
Tony's Steakhouse.
I've been there.
You've been there?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, there you go.
I love Tony's.
We'll go back. We'll get you back there.
And not only steak, the crab cakes are good. And you know, I'm from Maryland. Okay? They need to be good crab cakes. And they are very good crab cakes. Actually, Todd Strupp gave me gave me some advice to go there and get the crab cakes, and I did, and he did not lead me astray.
Yeah, the restaurant is phenomenal, and it'll mm-hmm. be packed all throughout Keeneland. There's no
oh,
doubt
yeah.
about it, because it's a who's who of people in the thoroughbred business that will attend Tony's, no doubt about
just
it.
Just what you want to do, hang out with more racetrackers after being at the racetrack all day.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, that's
right,
it is.
They have a great
us.
Bar at Tony's, too, by the yeah. way, so that helps.
Very, very good bar.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Spectacular. All right, let's talk about the Florida Derby now. We've got a huge program here today. I know you've got your PP sitting in front of you. What do you
Always.
Make of this year's race?
I really think that people think that this iPad's, like, glued to me. I think it's honestly, like, part of my body now. But, no, the Florida Derby, really excited about it. And, you know, Hidden Scroll, what do you do? What do you do with him? He's a horse who I think is incredibly talented, but I actually had a good conversation with Javier Castellano 2 days ago, and it was nothing that was on air or anything. I was curious what his approach was to the race. And he said, you know, I've never been on this horse before, both in the morning or the afternoon. And we're going to have to try to do something that's never been done before with a horse I've never been on before from the rail post position. So it's going to be a split-second decision. He's going to have to play the break. If he breaks well, maybe go. If he sees other horses to his outside. I mean, that's what I think people take for granted when they're handicapping races and considering the decisions that jockeys have to make, split-second decisions going into the first turn, especially with this horse. It was a very insightful conversation with Javier. But I prefer Hidden Scroll. I think it was unfortunate, the circumstances last time out. But a basic handicapping perspective, a horse gets chewed up in a hot pace. The horse who was in the pace with him finished last. This horse actually managed to finish fourth. He came back and won, cutting back in distance in the Hutchinson. And I just think if he can settle just a little bit more, I think he could pull it off. But, you know, I also really like Code of Honor. He made the first move into that pace that collapsed. So, you know, when you're analyzing races, I kind of feel like those are the two that you want out of it.
And there's a lot of speed in this year's Florida Derby, isn't there?
There definitely is. Maximum Security, I don't know really what he's going to do. Hard Bell, Jaime Mejia, we usually know those connections approach to races. Code of Honor's not even that slow. It could be a very hot pace. That said, Honor Code is very fast. So that's what makes this race so unusual, I think, this year. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the jocks do. I know everybody's worried about the rail draw. When we interviewed Mott yesterday, yeah, it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really care. He was so devil may care about the whole thing. And, you know, you see the tweet storm of, like, oh, he drew the rail on all the stuff with Jaime Mejia's horse last time. Mott was just like another day at the office, mm-hmm. You know.
Well, sometimes, you know, as a trainer, what's the point in worrying about it, right? You do what you can to make this horse prepared for the race itself. That's out of your control. Javier's ride this afternoon is going to be out of Bill Mott's control, but at least they've done what they have done in the morning to get him to try to settle and respond to the rider, working him in company, working him behind company, outside of company, inside of company. So we'll see what he's capable of doing. But he's naturally very fast. And we know it's never a good thing to take away a horse's best attribute. And I do think his best attribute is his speed, but it does need to be harnessed.
Well, you pretty much reiterated the Bill Mott interview, speaking as a trainer's daughter, a great trainer's daughter. She knows what she's talking about. I mean, that's what Bill said. I mean, I have to prepare the horse. Javier has to ride him. Yeah. We drew the rail. We can't do anything about it. So here we go.
Yeah, and you know? We heard from John Velasquez earlier in the program, and I told the story that after we finished that interview with Johnny yesterday, he kind of walked through and handicapped the race with us and talked about the other riders in there, mm-hmm. and what they might have to do. You know, he always thinks about other people's strategy too, so he can incorporate his own. And he talked about Javier with Hidden Scroll from the inside post, and he said what he'll probably have to do is hustle him a little bit in the beginning to get him out and get him into position, and then let the other speed, which is also his outside, obviously, go and, mm-hmm. and get out in front of him, and then ease off the rail and kind of try to get himself into that catbird position in behind the speed if his horse
ideally.
Will settle and he can get him out. That would
ideally.
Be the ideal plan, right? Yeah, great word, ideally.
The thing about it, when I was watching the race of the Fountain of Youth live, my perspective of the race was that Joel sent this horse, Hidden Scroll, and he got chewed up in a fast pace. When I went back and watched it several times in handicapping for the Florida Derby, he actually got knocked off stride pretty badly coming out of the gate.
He did.
And his horse took him to the position where he found himself. He even took a hold of the horse, and he didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't respond to Joel in trying to get him to relax. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I'm curious to see if Bill Mott had done anything with a Hidden Scroll in the morning, like changing his bit to make it maybe more of an aggressive bit, because usually he just uses a loose ring snaffle like that. I'm hoping to have a conversation with Bill a little bit later just to get some more insight on that.
Talking with Gabby Gaudette here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, we've talked about the Florida Derby. I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this, so I'll just throw it to you. You're such a pro. I know you can handle it. But the race before is the Pan American.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any homework on that and taken a look at that race? Because that's part of our coverage this afternoon, too.
It's a tough race. So I did handicap the pick six sequence. I was telling Jude, it was like my initial ticket was $240 because I couldn't find a single. I have dwindled it down to about 86.
For a 20-cent ticket?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I got it down to $86,
okay.
So we'll go with that. But in that race, I could make a case for Focus Group, Village King, Solio, and Bigger Picture. I'm leaning towards Bigger Picture. I think he's going to be my top pick, and if I had to find a horse to pick, it would be him, because I do think he's got the back class, and he's kind of more of the proven horse. He's gone against Grade 1 Company. grade two company, grade three company, whereas, you know, Focus Group, he just ran in his first grade one last time out. Village King, he's faced grade two, grade three company and hasn't managed. So from a class perspective, I would have to go with bigger picture.
All right, Gabby, you'll be part of the TVG coverage this mm-hmm. afternoon. That's the plan. And then, of course, Keeneland next week. We'll look forward to seeing you in the Bluegrass on Thursday. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to email you a gift certificate courtesy of Embrace the Race. Go pick out something nice at EmbraceTheRace.com. Maybe something to match that beautiful Barbados blue dress with the yellow flowers on it. You look
great. I blend in with the Florida Derby logo.
Love it. Spectacular. Appreciate the
Thank
time,
you guys.
Gabby. Thanks. Enjoy the day. All right, we're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead later this afternoon. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
It's time for Kentucky Cajun Bob's famous crawfish boil, coming on April 16th. Support horses in aftercare at the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center when you get your ticket on the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center Facebook page or website at kyeac.org. Stay and enjoy the party at the crawfish boil or take your 5 pounds of freshly boiled crawfish home. Get your ticket on the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center Facebook page or website at kyeac.org. The horses thank you.
Power.
Caracondi has won.
Passion.
It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi and O'Donnell. Caracondi.
Caracondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with 5-time champion Miesk as his third dam. Caracondi recorded 3 grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a grade one win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caracondi sold for up to $220,000, and his first 2-year-olds impressed at the OBF with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of 2-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at 2, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of 1:33 in some of the best grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Foaling season is underway, and the highly anticipated first foals for Champion Classic Empire are here. Breeders are seriously impressed with the quality, size, and bone he is putting into his progeny. Early foals include a very athletic colt who is out of a half-sister to Champion Merit Beholder, as well as leading sire Into Mischief and Ashford newcomer Mendelssohn, bred by Team Valor International, and a quality first foal out of Sweet Saturday, a half-sister to Exaggerator, bred by China Horse Club International. Hurry and call the team at Coolmore to get your mare booked to Champion Classic Empire before it's too late.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland and Red Brand Fence.
JT, I've been so excited to be back here at Gulfstream Park for Florida Derby Day. I almost forgot to give a countdown to the Kentucky Derby here on the Equine Forum this morning. But fear not, we are just 35 days, 8 hours, 51 minutes, and 28 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
Well, that's very apropos. I'll let you get away with it today. This is one of the biggest Derby preps of the year, so we should give the countdown.
Yeah, and we're, what, post time for the UAE Derby in Dubai is only, 7 or 8 minutes away. I think 10:05 was the scheduled post for that one.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't be able to get the results of that to everybody, but it's going on.
Dubai World Cup at noon. TBG has all that coverage for you. We're back this afternoon, 5 Eastern, coverage of the Florida Derby presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Tune in on Sirius XM 93 this afternoon on affiliates across the country and stream us worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. That's pretty cool. Bluetooth us in your car or listen on your phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever it might be. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us this morning. Interviews with Bill Mott and John Velasquez, Kenny McPeak, Josh Stevens, Mark Hennig, Mark Otto, and Gabby Gaudet all here for us this morning.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
All right, and we are back this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern here on the network. Make sure you join us then. For our producer, Lee Delapine, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for Chauncey handling social media, my beautiful wife, Michelle, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.